Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, May 20th, 2016. And as usual, I would like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe protest over outstanding salaries dating back to last year.
If the management is so serious about our plight, they should come up with a plan. We're not saying they give us all of it, but at least they give us something.
Harare City Council urges residents to stock water in household containers as the local authority prepares to shut down its major water plant.
We are putting in new valves tomorrow, which will allow us maybe to convey more water to our residents. All the other areas we get water from Modern Jeffrey will be affected.
And some Zimbabweans stage anti-Mugabe protests in South Africa.
Our students who were facing heavy presence of police still marched on. They protested together with students of the local student bodies, your DASO, your EFF and so on.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe today staged a demonstration in Harare demanding outstanding salaries dating back to last year. Our reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
More than 300 NRZ employees gathered at the Parastatals local offices, waving placards, demanding their outstanding salaries and allowances. The railway workers also petitioned Parliament and Labour Minister Priska Mfumira, demanding that government urgently looks into their plight. One of the protesters, Tafadzwa Bunu, said life has become unbearable for most of the company's employees following NRZ's failure to pay them their dues.
If the management is so serious about our plight, they should come up with a plan. We're not saying they give us all of it, but at least they give us something that we break even. We can pay those arrears, then manage to come to work. While at least they give a payment plan in place, then we can work, because we work with sophisticated machines. And can you imagine, if you make a mistake driving a locomotive, we're talking about in the range of 3 million, you would destroy a state enterprise.
Another demonstrator, Linda Masarira, who is challenging her dismissal from the company in the courts, said she was also worried that NRZ is not saying anything about the plight of its workers.
You look at a situation like me, I'm an ex-railway employee who was affected by the Zula judgment. Since July last year, when the contracts of employment were terminated, NRZ hasn't been paying us our monies, and they are still owing us our terminal benefits and everything else. So at the end of the day, you see that even the workers that are still there, they're in service, they're failing to pay them. Just last month, when they claimed that they got money from the government, they only paid the workers who had not joined in the strike, and left those who were striking, and those that they terminated their contracts. We need government to intervene so that we get paid our monies and find a way forward with our lives.
Masarira criticized Mfumira for ordering all striking NRZ employees to return to work without her addressing the issue of their outstanding salaries and allowances.
Our take on that is they are trying to make us slaves. Because why would you issue a show-cause order to workers you haven't paid for 15 months? Workers were just requesting the money that they worked for so that they can go on with their lives. They're actually threatening to imprison them or to fire them for demanding what they've worked for.
NRZ Acting General Manager, Engineer Louis Mukwada, asked the Studio 7 to submit questions in writing, but he had not responded at the time of going to air. The industrial action of NRZ employees is affecting the movement of goods, as the engines of most of the company's locomotives have been switched off. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Harare and Norton residents are bracing for a dry weekend without the precious liquid water as the local authority is set to shut down the Morton Jeffrey water plant in an effort to revive it. The city council is installing additional and new water valves acquired through a Chinese loan. Harare City spokesperson Michael Chideme says the additional valves are expected to enable the council to mix water drawn from Darwendale Farm with that from Lake Chivero, making it cheaper to purify the water. He says the shutdown will also facilitate the removal and replacement of obsolete equipment. Chideme tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri residents should stock enough water for use during the two-day shutdown.
What has been happening is that the existing valves are not working. So if they are not working, it means that the water that they are supposed to be conveying is not being conveyed. So we are putting in new valves tomorrow, which will allow us maybe to convey more water to our residents.
Which areas are going to be affected?
The rest of Harare, says a few of the suburbs like Sunningdale, parts of Mare, parts of Waterfalls, parts of Edfield and Chitungwiza, which get their water from the Prince Edward Water Treatment Plant. But all the other areas which get water from Modern Jeffrey will be affected.
How was the water situation in Harare? Because for some, they may say, no, we are not going to experience any difference shutting down the water for repairs or the usual no water situation.
The amount of feedback that we're getting from the residents in terms of complaints over the Gulin shutdown is evidence enough that water is reaching a lot more households now, and the people are complaining that why are we closing down the water every weekend, but we are explaining to them that we are closing the water so that we can improve delivery.
When do you expect this project to be completed?
The rehabilitation of Morton Jeffrey only. We expect it to be complete by early next year. We will continue with shutdowns so that we can put in the new equipment. Because part of the installation of the new plant requires us to use electricity in terms of welding. So you can't weld where it's wet or where there's flowing water. You need to shut down the plant so that the engineers who work on the plant or the artisans, they are not affected by the flowing water.
That was Michael Chideme, Harare City Council spokesperson, speaking with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. President Robert Mugabe today attended the centenary celebration of Fort Hare in South Africa amid protests from students who were not happy with the president and South African President Jacob Zuma's presence at the celebrations. Police used tear gas to disperse the students from Zimbabwe and South Africa who wanted to force their way into the hall where Mr. Mugabe and alumnus of the university and President Zuma were officiating. The protests started on Wednesday when students set on fire one of the university buildings. But today they were not given any chance as they were pushed away with water cannons and tear gas. The opposition Zimbabwe People First had written to the college authorities seeking a ban on Mr. Mugabe, who they accuse of misusing state money to travel around the globe. The party's South African branch convener, Lawrence Mavaire, tells Studio 7 the college authorities did not even respond to their request.
Today, Forte was a clear testimony to say that this event has just become a celebration of the past, and it is quite detached from what the students and the people of current times are going through. In the morning, our students who were facing heavy presence of police still marched on. They protested together with students of the local student bodies, your DASO, your EFF, and so on. And they were resolute to say that these dignitaries cannot come and celebrate when there's nothing to celebrate. And I must say, we must congratulate, and I take my hats off to the students that really stood in the face of, you know, heads of states to tell them to say, no, enough is enough. And I'm sure you might have witnessed, because of that confrontation, the reception was moved into a hall that normally has to capacitate almost thousands of people, was barely full.
So, in other words, are you saying that you united as a Zimbabweans and South Africans to protest against the leaders celebrating the 100th year of Fort Hare?
When 15 million rand allocated for allowances goes missing and disappears in school accounts, that's an issue for students, regardless of what your political affiliation is. So the unit you saw transcended across political parties, and I believe that was a testament that there is unity across us as either opposition people or as students at a particular institution who are going through particular challenges.
That was Lawrence Mavaire, Zimbabwe People First South African branch convener. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from South Africa.
A Zimbabwean family based in New York here in the United States of America say it has been touched by a story that aired on Studio 7 profiling challenges faced by Anna Lungisani, a 36-year-old disabled and HIV-positive woman who is struggling to survive in Harare's Epworth suburb. Veronica and Bernard Domingo say they shed tears after listening to the report, which chronicled how Anna is failing to access treatment as her family is very poor. The Domingos say they would like to donate blankets and food and transport fare to help Anna to go for treatment. Veronica and Bernard Domingo speak to Studio 7 about what motivated them to assist Anna.
This news touched me when my husband was listening to this news, and he called me and said, come and listen what is on the news. And I listened what this sister is getting through. She's disabled. She has no money. She has nothing to do. Her father gets only $80 to support the family, and her sister, who is 12 years, is the one who takes care of her. And her sister is being affected at school because she's how her sister is going through at home. So I was very touched by this story.
Mr. Domingo, if you can come in and just tell us what touched you the most about this story. A lot of people listen to the news, and we carry a lot of news on Studio 7, but why this particular one? What prompted you to make that move, to make a donation?
First, it was the way this woman, she's been neglected with the society. And I think maybe because everybody has got their own problems right now. I heard on the conversation that before, community used to take care of us. When I was listening to this story, what touches me most, like what my mother just said, is there's this little girl, she is 12 years old, and she speaks good English. You can tell that this child, she's smart. But by so doing, she's no longer concentrating with her school project anymore because she needs to take care of her sister, and she can't concentrate while she's doing her schoolwork. And also this lady, it's not her fault to be disabled or to get this disease. Anyone can get it. No one is smart to walk away from this pandemic. When I noticed that this woman, she doesn't have nothing. The father that is taking care of this lady is earning $80 a month. $80 a month, you want to pay rent, you want to pay all these things. And it's three of them against that $80. So by so doing, I feel so painful that it is better if we can do something than just to talk about it. Let us act. Then the very day when we heard this news, we couldn't say nothing because my wife, she was crying, and me, I was angry with this story that I need to do something. And the following day, I went to work, and then I called my wife. I said, I was thinking. And then before I even finished the word, I said, you're thinking of the woman in Epworth? I said, yes. I said, what can we do? I said, let's just help with just a little. Maybe if we start doing this, other people are going to chip in. We should help, not just show off like other people that we see on social media.
Coming back to you, Mrs. Domingo, your donation, how would you like to see it being used to help Anna?
What we were thinking about the donation, we were thinking that it is okay if someone can buy two blankets for her and food to eat, because right now she's struggling. She has nothing to eat.
That was Veronica and Bernard Domingo speaking with Studio 7 from New York here in the United States of America.
Coming up,
meet Tawanda Katsaruware, a Zimbabwean developing Android and iPhone apps.
And will Dynamo's woes end this weekend?
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Activists are disputing a Nigerian military report that a second Chibok girl kidnapped by Boko Haram militants in 2014 has been rescued.
And Egypt says it has found debris from the downed Egypt Air Flight 804 in the Mediterranean Sea. Egyptian Army Brigadier General Mohamed Samisaid issued a statement on Facebook today saying personal belongings of the passengers and parts of the plane debris were found floating in the water. A mother's passion for parenting inspired her to start a baby products company and a parenting magazine, probably the first of its kind in Zimbabwe. That's the story of Tafadzwa Mkondo, owner of Babies Private Limited and one of 60 Zimbabwean youth leaders headed for the United States next month to study business and civic leadership under the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Mkondo will be based at the University of Virginia for the six-week program. She tells reporter Ntunga Milinkomo how her business idea started.
When I was pregnant with my first child, the frustration was not being able to get what I wanted specifically for my child. And I didn't like the idea of having to travel. I just thought a mother should be able to get it, whatever she wants within the country, at an affordable price. So I got the opportunity to get into distribution. And at the same time, access to information on parenting was limited. We only had magazines from overseas. So it was something I thought maybe we should have a medium that's focused on Zimbabwean issues with Zimbabwean solutions and, yeah, for everybody to be able to access.
How do you think the Mandela Washington Fellowship is going to help you?
I think being exposed to world leaders within politics, American politics, being exposed to well-run businesses within the United States and having leaders teach you, as well as being at these institutions that have world-renowned professors who are taking their time to teach us on how to run our businesses and how to appreciate corporate social responsibility. It's definitely something that I believe will help me to run a better company more professionally, and also to realize the idea of giving back. I know in Zim, some think it's better to make the money, and then once you've made it, you give back. But I think what I've seen with the first world is as you're making your money, you give back, because it's the only fair thing to do, the only right thing to do. So I think it gives you that determination to work harder and to be more professional in what you do, because you can see where you'd want to head to having that opportunity to be exposed to these people. So I think it will help me greatly.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow Tafadzwa Mkondo on the line with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
And now we hand you over to Chiwoneso Jani in the Youth Show, Time to Engage.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This is Chiwoneso Jani, your host for Time to Engage. Today we have a phenomenal young man, and his name is Tawanda Katsaruware. Hi, Tawanda.
Hi, Chinchi. Happy to be on your show.
Tawanda, please tell me about the work that you're doing right now in Zimbabwe.
Okay, Chinchi. I'm a mobile app developer. Make apps for Android and iPhone, iOS.
Can you tell us more about these apps?
Well, pretty much how it works is, you know, Zim is coming up. People are looking for apps, so they just come to me with an idea, and I bring it to life for them.
Can you give me an example of the app that you created for iPhone?
For iPhone, currently we're working on an app called Handyman. That's basically about, you know, when, you know, you're sitting at home and you need services. Maybe you need a carpenter, you need a plumber, or you've got an emergency with your electrical. This app enables you to, just, you know, quickly type in your problem. It gets your location and things like that. And then it searches for the best people on the market to help you.
Is it accessible?
We're actually getting into beta testing this week. So it's been released into the public now on the Android one. The iPhone one will follow in a few weeks.
What are your challenges that you're going through as a young man?
Countless in Zimbabwe, but maybe mostly it's capital to expand, because there's a lot more that I could be doing. There's a lot more ideas that I have that I can't implement because I can't afford to do it. It ranges between $15,000 and $20,000 to get started.
I feel that Zimbabwe right now is the right place where you want to be doing all these great apps.
Yes and no. Yes, in that this place still has a lot of problems to be solved. Therefore, I still have a lot of the solutions to solve it. Therefore, it is business. Then no, in that while I'm doing all these things, I can't always get paid for what I'm doing. So it's not the best environment for business, if I could, you know, put it like that.
Okay, so what would you like to tell all the other youth who are trying to get into contracts with big organizations like you're doing with Apple and with Android?
I guess the best advice is just do it. Just start. I think not to always go in there money driven, because I mean, you're going to get a lot of letdowns and it'll cause you to give up. So just start doing it, develop a passion for it, and you will actually, you know, get you where you need to go. Not be money driven. All right, I've been to India and I've been to South Africa. And in India, these guys are, you know, they're pretty impressive how they develop their own innovations and things like that, and they go hard on it. In comparison to Zimbabwe, we are generally behind in terms of, you know, the latest things, trends, technologies, you know, methods of doing IT. So yeah, we do need an improvement on that aspect.
And that was Tawanda Katsaruware, app developer, and I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage.
Thanks very much, Chioniso.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Colombia is in the final stages of striking a peace agreement with the Rebel Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, known as FARC. That would end a 52-year conflict that has taken the lives of more than 250,000, left 45,000 people missing, and displaced 6.8 million. At a recent meeting with the Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry encouraged both sides to come to a final agreement. He stressed that the United States is very committed to not just helping to achieve the document, but to helping achieve true peace in Colombia. In a promising step, the Colombian government and FARC announced that they had reached an agreement to release child soldiers under 15 years of age from rebel custody and develop a roadmap for an exit for the remaining minors, those between 15 and 18. The deal would eventually involve hundreds of children who were recruited to fight in Colombia's long civil war, though no census of child soldiers has ever been taken. One of the biggest horrors of a conflict is when we drag our children and young people into combat, said Humberto de la Calle, the chief Colombian government negotiator. It's for this reason that this agreement is a crucial advance in the process of bringing this war to a close. The United States, said Secretary Kerry, will continue to lend its support during the post-accord process. Colombia will need help, he said, in areas such as humanitarian demining. And we're working with the president and with his team to define the details of the demining initiative, which we're working on with Norway as co-chairs of that effort, also to help with the post-accord implementation, which will require significant global commitment. President Santos expressed his gratitude to the United States for its crucial support in the peace process. We hope that in the near future we can complete the accord and start building a true peace. The United States remains deeply committed to helping Colombia begin a new chapter in its history, one of reconciliation and peace.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, the Zimbabwe football family is looking forward to a violence-free weekend as the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League program rolls into week 7. Our reporter Michael Cariati tells us more on the issue.
Violence rocked Harare last weekend when Dynamos lost 1-0 to FC Platinum. This weekend, Dynamos travel to Bulawayo, where they are set to clash with Cholocho Pirates. The Harare Giants are in an unfamiliar second from the bottom position in the 16-team Castro Premier Soccer League log, and Under Fire Club chairman Ken Mbaiwa is appealing for calm among his team's followers.
Please stop it. Please stop this localism. I know you, Dynamos fans, you are able to stop it. Throwing off missiles is not a good thing.
The game against 11th placed Cholocho Pirates is another test case for Dimbare's pedigree to recover. Mbaiwa says the club is still eyeing the league championship.
There are still 72 points to play for. I can see us rising up and winning the league.
On the other hand, leaders FC Platinum clash with Border Strikers, with coach Norman Mapeza, who thinks they will clinch the league title, confident of choking a victory against the lowly wretched club. Third place Capes United are at home, but this time not at the National Sports Stadium, but at Rufaro Stadium, as the Giant Stadium cannot be used due to the Zimbabwe Under-20 engagement against Cameroon. The other matches on the menu are as follows: Chapungu vs. Ngezi Platinum Stars, Wange vs. Haumai, Mutare City Rovers vs. Chicken Inn, and Triangle vs. Bulawayo City. Zipa Communications Manager Tolisani Gwesela says all is well in the Young Warriors camp, noting that he's confident the team will pull up a good show.
We are very confident that our Young Warriors will qualify for the Zambia 2017 finals. As I'm talking to you, they're currently in training, and their training will continue until Saturday.
The winner of the tie between Zimbabwe and Cameroon will meet the victor of the game between Libya and Benin for that vital place at the finals. The Africa Under-20 Championships are set for Zambia in April 2017. Now to cricket. The Associate Provincial League reaches its semi-final stage this weekend with two matches lined up, one in Masvingo and the other in Binura. The Southern Rocks are hoping for a place in the final with a date against the Western Tigers in Masvingo, while across the country in Binura, Centrals are set to clash with Power Turbines. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts will be talking with listeners about a protest in Harare staged today by workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe demanding outstanding pay backdating to 2015.
If you wish to join the discussion, call us at 001-202-619-2077. The number again is 001-202-619-2077.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Workers of the National Railways of Zimbabwe protest over outstanding salaries backdating to last year.
Harare City Council urges residents to stock water in household containers as the local authority prepares to shut down its major water plant.
And some Zimbabweans stage anti-Mugabe protests in South Africa.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now, remember to join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages, and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can also send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number: 001-202-465-0318. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntunga Milinkomo. This is Chris Gande wishing you a restful weekend.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.